Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. I read to you from Genesis 26 and verse 18. And Isaac digged again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham, and he called the names after the names which his father had called them. Friend, this is the record of an historical event that contains the demonstration of a great moral quality and value. Herein we find the path of great wisdom and a reliable course of action. Isaac digged again the wells which his father Abraham had opened years before him. And this lesson wishes to stress the action and to draw from it. Why did Isaac do as he did? Well, there were at least three very prominent reasons. One, there was need for water. With his flocks and herds and people and a famine in the land, he proposed to go to Egypt. But the Lord told him to stay in the land. But he had to have water. Another reason, the Philistines, envying Isaac, had stopped the wells with stones and earth. If water was to be brought up, the wells had to be reopened. And a third reason, he knew he could not improve on the location of those wells or the quality of water which flowed in their depths. We need to heed the voice of history as it cries unto us. When we see the old paths of truth forsaken, we have to wonder why we should want to imitate the spiritual apostasy and failure that is always produced when men leave the Word of God. And I'm wondering, do the liberals really think that they're saying anything new or progressive? Friend, all of their derogatory prattle can be read in history almost verbatim in the tirades against the old paths uttered by the advocates of digression many years ago. Modernism is not modern, because it is the same age of the subtlety and deceit of the devil. Look where the descendants of digressives are today, and see if you wish to give heed to the voices of liberalism and modernism. Are they not mired in the filth and the scum of the rankest infidelity and spiritual apostasy? Is this where we want to go? Is this where we want to lead our children? Modernism, liberalism, digression, heresy, apostasy, whatever you want to call it, it's not a new battleground, but it continues to be a deadly and constant one. Salvation is not the prime task of the church, according to the apostates. The Bible cannot be understood, they like to tell us. Clergymen of every stripe have drunk deep from the wells of intellectualism and infidelity until churches no longer stand for the truth like they once stood, or much of anything else that's holy. Even the Lord's church has become burdened with many liberals who cherish theological ideas and other kind of academic degrees rather than the old paths, and who, at the same time, display contempt for the true in favor of something that they think is new. Well, it's not new at all. It remains to be seen how many churches of Christ shall survive the onslaught of the professors and the pastor pulpiteers, the presidents of colleges, the promoters of programs, who are modern-day Philistines, who are busily engaged in filling the wells digged before us. If the sophisticated, self-acclaimed, so-called scholars of the many Bible departments prevail, the people of God will be led from Canaan to drink of the brackish waters of denominational Egypt rather than dig again and drink deeply from the wells of truth in which flows the water of life. Too many are too slow and too reluctant to recognize the sources from which detrimental, digressive doctrines and evil influences are pouring into the ranks of the church. Isaac was a great man who lived between two other men who overshadowed him. They were Abram, his father, and Jacob, his son. Isaac was not an innovator. He was not one to instigate great change. There was nothing particularly sensational or dramatic or earth-shaking in his adult career. And whereas Abraham had left his home in Ur of Chaldee, and he showed repeatedly his great faith from Moriah to the rescue of Lot, and when he stood before Melchizedek, and Jacob was a flamboyant, colorful character with one exciting and moving event after another from his youth until his death, Isaac simply carried on the great tradition of faith in God, and it was a necessary link in the chain of divine purpose. Some are great for what they initiate. Others are great for what they preserve and keep alive. The latter was the greatness of Isaac, who kept alive that which was deserving to be kept alive, and continued the march toward the coming Savior. We should realize, friend, as did Isaac, we owe a great debt of gratitude to those who have dug wells before us, wells from which we are privileged to drink, and possibly do not appreciate it as much as we should. You know, when we drive through the countryside and we see rows of tall and stately trees down a fence row, do you not wonder who planted them? Oh, we enjoy them. But the one who planted them probably never did see them in their glory, not as we see them. But we're indebted to them, are we not? And we're indebted to those who have built bridges over chasms and rivers so we can safely and quickly cross over. Frankly, friend, it is disgusting to hear the people of digression clamor for change just for the sake of change, downgrading those who have gone before them, as if nothing of significance ever happened before these new wonders appeared on the scene. It is a mark of greatness in a man, or a greatness in a generation, to build for the future, to dig wells for generations yet to come. Abraham did this when he originally digged his wells. Civilization dies and real progress stagnates if people go backward or just concentrate too long on themselves to the neglect of those of the future. I think of the founding fathers of our nation, many of whom were already aged men, who risked their all for a nation in which men could live, but in which they would live but for a short time. But they had in mind their descendants. How little tribute we pay to such people who provided for us freedoms that we may take for granted. These things are ours because of the sacrifice and the toil and the tears of those who went before us. Abraham was not thinking only of himself when he digged these wells, but also his descendants who would inherit the land after him. Isaac appreciated what his father had done, and he kept alive what was deserving. He also was not just concerned for himself. Consider how few things we enjoy and take for granted that we have not totally worked out for ourselves, and we have not discovered them for ourselves. We did not invent them. Others did. And certainly this is true of the many material and mechanical and electrical push-button things. Somebody figured it all out. Somebody made it possible, and we just come along and push a button, and may even fuss if it doesn't work immediately and perfectly. Well, this is also true in many sacred and spiritual truths that have been learned and written and preserved in our world by those who are brave enough, wise enough, sacrificial enough, indeed strong enough to keep the light of truth burning brightly in a world of sinful darkness. This they have done in spite of many efforts to extinguish that light. And how foolish and mistaken and conceited and servile to pride are we when we think that we accomplish what we do accomplish without the help of those who've gone before us. How selfish and egotistical and spiritually immature and unjust we show ourselves to be should we speak disparagingly of the noble men and women of the past who often carved from near hopelessness great blessings of beauty. People are inclined to make two grave mistakes regarding the past. It is folly to think that only the things of the past are what is good, and use whatever was in the past that has been accomplished by men as our religious authority. But it may be even worse folly to discard the useful practices and the proven principles of timeless truth and experience in order to latch on to what is so unstable. It may be even worse yet, when those who are untried and unproven and unstable and are the imitations of failures come forward to deride and ridicule and war against people and deeds and truths that have built the very platforms on which the present generation is privileged to stand. Solid platforms that those who mock do not even have the capacity to build. Disrespect of age, disrespect of our heritage, disrespect of the past and the old paths, it is a sin so prominent in our time. This is a violation of divine law. It is even evident in the church. God's word does not lend itself to condone such disrespect. There have been wells digged before us which have been and still are under grave danger of being filled up by the modern Philistines of liberalism. Respect for the past does not stifle real progress, but it guides it. If we be as wise as we would like to think ourselves to be, we would be modern-day Isaacs and dig again those wells and seek their fresh, life-giving, soul-satisfying waters and quench our spiritual thirst with blessings that pour from them. This craving for the new has caused some to confuse and sacrifice soundness, and they've compromised the truth. They confuse being busy with the Lord's business. They just want to have activity, but are not so concerned whether or not their activity is authorized of God. They want denominational Egypt rather than the pure wells of Canaan. Much in the world drinks from defiled and polluted waters, being filled with the produce of the unclean, depraved reservoirs and fountains of corruption. Hence we see the turmoil, the wickedness, the lawlessness, the unrest, the degradation of our time. Many grope, seeking wistfully in desperation for the water of life that satisfies the longings of the soul, but too often, rather than expend the energy to reopen the old wells that repeatedly prove valuable, they prefer to dig new wells that repeatedly prove to be impure and shallow and temporary and dry up in the drought of trial. Pride and arrogance and ignorance prevent many from digging where pure waters have always been found. Friend, we need to return to the ways of the past in so many ways, in so many matters. Oh, we can hear somebody cry, traditionalist, legalist, and on and on. It is strange how some who deplore labels of liberal and modernist are profuse in labeling anybody that questions their elite judgment. Oh, we say, we must progress. We must go forward. We must move onward. We've got to go upward. We've got to grow and glow. And that's the wail that we sometimes hear coming from some. Well, we don't disagree with all of that. But let us not confuse digression for progression. Let's don't get mixed up calling forward, which is really backward. Let's don't mix up onward and upward for being nothing but downward, and growing and glowing for just puffing up and burning out. As we move, friend, let us be careful which direction we're moving, and let's stay on the right path. Some have moved far from Jerusalem and the way of God. Failing to heed the past and respecting the past does not improve anything. Rather, we stand in danger of going beyond the authority of God. And are we not warned in 2 John 9 through 11 against going beyond the doctrine of Christ? And does not that warning mean anything to you? Paying attention to the old is taught in the Scriptures. Romans 15 and verse 4, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11, now all these things happen unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. I warn you, dear friend, beware of those who only cry, future, future, without ample regard for the past. It is not by accident, it is by divine design, that older, seasoned, experienced, and faithful men are the ones who are to be the elders in the church. It's not an accident that adults are to be over the home rather than children. Proverbs 16 and verse 31, the hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness? Proverbs 22:28, remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. When Judah was running headlong to its destruction in sin, going the same path as northern Israel, Jeremiah warned, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Jeremiah 6:16. But so many today are like those of the last part of that verse. But they said, we will not walk therein. Friend, we need to partake of the spirit of the past. You know, sometimes we hear people say regarding what is called the Restoration Movement, the effort to restore New Testament Christianity in our time, that the older generation may have restored the form and the doctrine, but now we must restore the spirit. Oh, the elitists who think themselves so superior. Well, it is true that many today do not have the right spirit, but the implication is that those of old did not have it either. Well, I say to you that neither the form nor the doctrine would have been restored except by the righteous spirit manifested over and over by those of the past. Nothing whatever of value could be restored by the flippant, arrogant, unstable, flighty, sophisticated, conceited, and intellectual disrespect so many of us have today. Our so-called scholars, who parade their degrees as if that makes them somewhat. They need a good dose of Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. We need the spirit of sacrifice, seldom found among us today. We need the love and devotion to first things first, keeping a sensitivity toward worldliness, having respect for truth, in the manner of speech and daily dealings, a sense of honor and integrity and justice and duty. We need the spirit of dignity for mankind and the willingness to obey. And while we hear sometimes people say, we must think for ourselves, I don't know of anybody that objects to that. But we wonder how the church exists among us today except for those who thought for themselves rather than following the ways of the denomination some would have us return to and follow now. Thinking for oneself does not necessarily mean coming up with different conclusions. Re-examine the evidence, certainly. We want no borrowed faith. But friend, when those before us believed and obeyed the truth, and when we believe and obey the truth, we shall be as they were. It is ridiculous to brand everything as human tradition just because somebody believed it before we came along. If more people would think, rather than just think they think, they would see the beauty and the relevance and the value and the usefulness and the glory of the gospel message now nearly 2,000 years old. It is a message that must be upheld before the cynical and sinful world by God's noblemen who realize its worth and who are determined to keep it alive among men. People have sought to discount God and Christ and the church and the Bible. Yes, the world changes, but not the truth of God. There is no improvement men can make over prayer and worship and the Bible and the Christian virtues, the doctrine of Christ, on any point. We might at times improve some of our methods, but never the message. Jude 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. Here is what must be deep in our hearts and our minds and in our lives. What Isaac did, digging again the old wells. It resounds with a brilliance and a wisdom that ought to motivate us to preserve the ancient truth of God, not only for ourselves, but for the generations to come. The preservation of ancient truth is a beautiful ministry. It opens up for every soul. It's necessary for true greatness in the sight of God. Will you be a part of those who dig again the old wells and stand for the old paths of truth? This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.